Today I want to talk to you about the gift of healing, that God heals us. I know that's a little puzzling sometimes because as I look out in the congregation and even as I examine my own life, I realize that there's a lot of healing yet to be done. That in fact, so many of us are struggling with illnesses, broken relationships, and loss in their lives. And it really is a matter of faith when I make this bold proclamation that God is still in the process of healing, even through all of those situations. And I am not deluded. I understand that we are all mortal, that the struggle to maintain our health is a battle that has a grim end game. Yet even then, I am confident that sometimes the healing that God really has in store for us is that healing which restores our souls to Him. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you grateful for that gift of healing? Are you really grateful? I like to think of myself as a grateful person. Gratitude is not just a once in a while kind of a thing. It's an ongoing daily state of mind. It's a permanent personality trait, if you will, gratitude. And I like to think of myself as a pretty grateful person. Every day I pray, and every time I pray, I thank God for something, even when I have a long laundry list of things that I want Him to do for me. But I learned something about myself the other day. I learned that I'm not nearly as grateful for the things that God has given me as I am for those things which I've lost and those things which I've gotten back again. The other day I was out and about doing the business of the church, going to meetings and visiting folks, and I found myself up in Johns Creek, 15 miles away, and it was about lunchtime, so I stopped. I went looking for a place to eat. Now, there are a lot of nice restaurants in Johns Creek, but I was in the mood for that kind of food that doesn't come in a nice restaurant. I was looking for that, sawdust on the floor kind of grimy kind of a restaurant where the food's really good. You know what I'm saying? That's hard to find in Johns Creek, but as I passed the strip shopping center, I saw a chicken wing place. And it was just a kind of a little hole in the wall, not a franchise or anything, and so I stopped in there and got some chicken wings, and boy, it was every bit as good as I thought it would be. Filled with gratitude, I headed my way back home and got back to the church, and it wasn't until I got back here that I realized I was missing my cell phone. And I knew exactly where I had left it, because while I was waiting for the chicken wings to be cooking, I was answering emails and that sort of thing, and these smartphones are great, but I don't know why they're called smartphones. If they're really that smart, it should have called out my name when I was walking away from it. But I left it there at the restaurant, and by the time I realized it was missing, 30 minutes had passed, and it was another 15-minute drive up there. Well, 12, depending on how... Never mind. I went back to that restaurant full of dread and the thought of having to spend too much money on a replacement cell phone, not to mention the data that I had stored in there, and it goes and goes and goes. And as soon as I walked into the restaurant, there was just a crowd of people around, and I looked over at the table where I'd been sitting, and there was another family already there, and I went up to the cash register and the cashier, and as soon as she saw me, she held up my cell phone. She said, "Oh, I'm so glad you came back. I was afraid you wouldn't know where you'd lost it, and I didn't know how to reach you." And she handed me my cell phone. She recognized me right off the bat. And all the people standing around at the cash register looked at that, and they said, "Man, that's an iPhone, isn't it?" I said, "Well, yeah." "Well, you have a blessed day." Well, I did have a blessed day. I was so relieved. I was so relieved and so grateful for the honesty and decency of strangers that I had never met before, that later on retrospect, I was kind of ashamed that I was not that grateful for so many things that I take for granted. God calls us into a life of gratitude, and it is not for His sake, but rather for ours, that we are called into a life of gratitude. I'd like to share with you a scripture from the 17th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 11th verse. Earlier on in the earlier chapters of Luke, Jesus was having his ministry in Galilee, but there comes a point where he sets his face to Jerusalem, ready to take that pilgrimage to Jerusalem where he's to die on the cross. His disciples follow him, but as he's going through Samaria, where the Samaritans are, the Samaritans reject him because he is determined to get to Jerusalem. You see, the Samaritans are a lot like the Jewish people, but because of ethnic differences that they were having at the time, they were sworn enemies of one another. And the Jews worshipped God in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans worshipped the same God, but on Mount Gerizim. And they could not abide by one another because of this and several other differences. So they were enemies of one another, Jews and Samaritans, and as Jesus was going through Samaria, he fell on some hard times with the people that were rejecting him as he was going through. Now we pick up the scripture as he's leaving Samaria and heading toward Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What did he mean when he said, "Your faith has made you well"? There were 10 people there. 9 of them apparently were Jewish. And as Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest," they started heading south to Jerusalem to show themselves to the priest. And as they were walking along, they looked at their skin and saw that the ashen white infection on their skin was starting to clear up. And they did just what Jesus said. They went and showed themselves to the priest. Because by showing themselves to the priest, you see, the priest would declare them to be ritually clean and thereby reincorporated into the community of faith and suitable for worship in the temple. Prior to that, they were ritually unclean and they were not able to go into the temple. They were instructed to stay separated from the rest of the community and they were thereby ostracized. Same with the Samaritan. That part of their religion was no different. They were ritually unclean. And as Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest," the Samaritan headed north to Mount Gerizim to show himself to the priest. And even as he was walking along, he looked and noticed that the infection on his skin was clearing up. But there was a difference there. You see, this Samaritan, all by himself, facing no pressure from anyone else, realized the source of his salvation, and he returned back to Jesus, praising God and thanking Jesus for this healing miracle. And Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well." Now, in the original Greek, it's a little bit obscure. That word that means "made you well" can also be correctly interpreted as "made you whole." It can also be correctly interpreted as "has saved you." Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. So oftentimes we take that word salvation and we, We attach otherworldly eschatological meaning to it, which is not incorrect. But most of the time when you see it in the Scriptures, they're talking about saving you here and now, saving you from leprosy, saving you from economic destruction, saving you from slavery or defeat in battle. And Jesus is talking to the Samaritan and says, your faith has saved you. What kind of faith did the Samaritan have that the other Jewish lepers didn't have? There's only one thing I can think of, and that is gratitude. That's the only difference, and it's plain to see when you read the Scriptures. The only difference between the Samaritan and the nine Jewish lepers, aside from their ethnic differences, the only real difference was their gratitude. And Jesus is right. Modern science bears it out, that gratitude is a powerful medicinal weapon. There was recently an article in a medical journal entitled, Boost Your Health with a Dose of Gratitude. Boost your health with a dose of gratitude. Now, wouldn't you know it? It's just like doctors to use the word dose in there. A dose of gratitude is what I had when I found my smartphone. But we're really talking about an ongoing, regular diet of gratitude each and every day. To be grateful for all of the things that come our way. I'm grateful for a lot of things. I'm grateful for the Joyful Noise Gospel Choir. They were great this morning. Even though they went to my wife, Sue, as a delegation and asked her to come to me to ask me not to lead in the clapping because my rhythm is not up to their standards. I forgive you. I'm grateful to you, too. This is a generous-hearted congregation that has the love of God in their hearts. This is a congregation with a vision for the Kingswood Church and for the Dunwoody community to make this place a better place. That as their old friends die and move off and new people come in, they still want this to be a jewel of a city where grace and love abides. And we have ministries that reflect that vision for our community and for the whole world. I'm grateful for that. And you have been generous in the past. I'm confident you will be generous in the future, even as we are facing greater economic challenges. I was amazed when we found the money to rebuild this floor and how quickly we found the money to repair the stained glass window. And now we've got the roof to fix. And in some ways, this is, you know, a joyful place. It's a bottomless pit of things that we need to repair, but more than that, it is a home where people are welcome. A place that we can really call a personal church in an impersonal world. There's no place I'd rather be. I hope you feel the same way. You see, Jesus understood the importance of gratitude. Sometimes we're grateful because we have good health. But quite often we have good health because we are grateful. Empirical evidence bears it out. I know there are exceptions to the rule. We have people with immense gratitude who are facing very serious medical maladies. And we have, let's face it, we have some people who are grumpy who still have good health. I'm not naming names. Don't look around. Don't feel guilty. But you know what I'm saying. Still and all, the doctors conclude that an attitude of gratitude, a permanent personality trait of going through life with gratitude in your heart, makes you stronger, lets you live a happier, healthier life, less stress, lower blood pressure, better immune system. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Your faith has made you well. And your mom knew what she was talking about, too, when she taught you to always say thank you whenever something happens. The other day, I was at the grocery store. Daniel Lanier, one of our church members, accosted me with bags of popcorn he wanted me to buy. And I did. I bought a package of popcorn, and he came back and said, "Thank you, Pastor Dale." And this morning he saw me again and he said, "Thank you, Pastor Dale. You're welcome." The thank you means more to me than the popcorn does. Sometimes we think of our giving as an investment. Sometimes we think of our giving as a cost. But Jesus, in healing the lepers, is teaching us that there's another way to look at our spending. Years ago, when I was dating Sue, and I started reflecting on how much she meant to me and how grateful I was to have her in my life, I finally bought an engagement ring and I asked her to be my wife. Now, that engagement ring was one of the most expensive things I'd ever bought. That just goes to show you how cheap I am. But I didn't count it as an investment in a wife. I didn't count it as an expense of doing business, and I didn't count it as a burden that I had to shell out this money to get her to say yes. I counted it as a privilege. A privilege that I had someone in my life that I loved enough to want to do this for, and someone whose happiness meant that much to me. And so I gave her the ring. Now, if I can do that with my wife, can't we do that with God? Must we begrudge the offerings of thanksgiving we give to God? Must we consider that our pledges to the Kingswood Church are an investment in the community? Must we consider that this is what is necessary and we're only going to give what we have to in order to keep the lights on? Or can we think about all the things that God has given us, and especially consider those times when we've taken those gifts for granted, when we have lost something, like I lost my cell phone, and how much great relief we had when we finally got our health back, or our broken relationships back, or got another job. When we can remember the gratitude that we had in those moments of regaining what we had lost, can we not go to God with the proper thanks and praise that He calls for us to have? Jesus was right. Were there not 9 others? Where are they? But your faith has saved you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.